Good morning.
Morning.
Well, thanks for having me this morning. It's great to be here. It's really great. Let me tell you, it's really great to be here. It's a strange feeling, let me say, in a way. Let me tell you how it feels. When I visit my mum and dad in Adelaide, I feel like I'm at home, but at the same time, I feel like I'm a visitor. And both are nice feelings, and either way, I'm welcomed with open arms. And boy, we feel like we've been welcomed with open arms this morning. So thank you so much for your warm welcome. It's lovely to be with you. Margie and I love Christmas. Anyone love Christmas? Something wonderful, isn't it, about this time of the year? Although sometimes you do need to wade through the trimmings and the trappings of the season to discover the true meaning of Christmas, it can easily get lost in the busyness. But in a nutshell, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen?
Amen?
Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. I've no doubt that's where your series title came from. With the idea that in the lead up to Christmas, we ensure that in the busyness of our schedules, we are sure to prepare room for the Lord. So this morning, I want to share a scripture with you from Isaiah 43 that I'm sure will be familiar to you. You'll probably even be able to sign one of the phrases in it. But I want to share some thoughts around what it means to live God's way. And what it means to align ourselves with the dynamic moving of the Spirit of God. It was Hudson Taylor, I've got a quote for you this morning, Hudson Taylor, who memorably said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. It's a true saying. When we get out of step with the Spirit of God, when we get out of alignment and try to do God's work our way, pushing our own agendas or trying to make things happen in our own strength or in our own timing, we may well find the supply of God is lacking. But on the other hand, when we learn to live God's way and we learn to walk in step with the Spirit of God, giving God room, giving him room and giving him priority, yes, there will be spiritual opposition. I'm not saying it's all going to be smooth sailing, but I would say when we are aligned with God's way and God's plan, we discover a flow in our relationships, a flow in our finances, a flow in every aspect of our lives. So let me read these verses that speak about God's way. It's Isaiah 43 and 16 to 19. Might read it off the back screen. It's a little bit like an eye test at the optician. Got my multifocals. Let's see how we go. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way, this is God's way, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Can you sign that for me? None of you can remember how to do that. Oh, yes, some of you are doing. Yeah, good on you. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way. A way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So I'm going to share with you this morning three important things to understand about living God's way. And the first of those is that God initiates. In Isaiah 43, the Lord says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Now it springs up. I'm making a way in the desert, away in the wilderness, streams of water in the desert. Now, we know that's always the case. This is a scripture for all people at all times. God is always doing new things. He's a God of wonderful creativity and life and newness and new initiatives. He loves the new. He's never changing. He's always the same, but he loves the new. And here at Kubelup, God is doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you perceive it? I'm sure you do, particularly those of you who've been around the place for a while. 6 or 7 years ago, this church had a whole new, fresh start as 30 or 40 people from Mount Pleasant stepped out in faith. I think it was 30 or 40, maybe it was 20 or 30. Stepped out in faith to be part of something new. I want to ask this morning, are there those here this morning who were part of those first 30 or so? Raise a hand. Wow. Still many of you. God has honoured that step of faith. Those of you who took that step of faith. God has honoured that and blessed those of you who had the courage to leave what was comfortable and to be part of something new. Let me honour you this morning. Those of you, the rest of you, stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before and taken that first step of faith. Let me say Michael and Sarah Christie. Is Sarah here? No. Sarah was here. Is she still part of the church? That's right. Sarah's doing a new thing. No, no, she's not. No, she's still here. Michael and Sarah were very early adopters of this idea. I remember them coming to speak with me, and the Lord called them with great clarity, actually. You might have heard their story. I hope you have. Called them with great clarity to be part of this new thing at Kubi. And then a few months ago, I think I can safely say that it came as a shock to all of us when Peter Christopher, who was shocked when Peter Christopher said, oh, by the way, I'm off. Suddenly announced his sense that the Lord had other plans for him, another assignment for him. But see, the Lord's not shocked by these things. He's not surprised. And of course, that paved the way for Michael to step now into the role that God has been preparing for him over this past 7 years, a role that he is now fulfilling with excellence. Is he not? A new thing. Yeah. It's a new thing. And again, he and Sarah have responded with faith, not without some fear and trembling. Michael. Yes, yeah, okay, well, slightly delayed, but certainly with faith. They've responded with faith. Absolutely, they've responded with faith. See, God initiates and we respond. Now, how we respond is vitally important, and it's important in an ongoing way. Let me illustrate this. When God delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, he was initiating a new era, the formation of a new people, a new nation. He was doing a new thing. And at first we see that the people responded with faith and obedience. They responded well. At first they responded well. But, and here's an important statement. I'll get Will to put it up on the screen. When things get rough and disorienting, how many of you know that the predictability and security of the past start looking pretty good? Only 6 weeks into their delivery from slavery, the Israelites start looking back and complaining. You know, how we respond to God's initiative is really important. Within 6 weeks, they weren't responding well. Having initially responded well, now they weren't responding well. And Exodus 16 tells us that the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And this is what they said. It's there in 16, verse 3. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. Ah, they were the good old days, weren't they? Those days of slavery. Interesting, isn't it, how quickly people forget? How people have selective memory. We all do it. Oh, the good old days. The good old days were so much better. They weren't, actually. Mostly they weren't a whole lot better. We just conveniently forget the hard things as we focus on the negatives of the present. That's what happens. Our perspective becomes skewed. You know, when Jesus was born at that first Christmas, once again, God was initiating a whole new era of history, a new covenant, a new kingdom under Jesus' sovereign reign, a new thing. God was doing a new thing, as he always is. And as you might recall, that whole conversation Jesus had about wine and wineskins in Matthew 9 with John's disciples who were tending to hold on to old ways of doing things. See, with God's new initiatives, there's new wine of the Spirit being poured out. Whenever God does something new, there's new wine. There's new wine of the Spirit being poured out. Now, new wine requires new wineskin. If you pour new wine into an old wineskin, the skin will burst, the wine will run out. Disaster. Who wants the wine to run out onto the ground? Not me. I don't want that. Where there's new things that God is doing here at Kubelup, there's a new wine that needs the new wineskin that God has provided and will provide. New leadership, new structures, new thinking, new practices, new ways of doing things. Very importantly, a letting go of the old. Now, I love the way that's been happening here at Kubi by all reports that I hear, the way people have just rallied around Michael in his leadership role. I think the applause a few minutes ago is indication of that. You know, it's not easy, but for all of us, there needs to be a willingness to lay things down. This is a continued pattern of my life, laying things down, letting things go, in preparation for and in anticipation of the new things God is doing. You know what? That takes humility. To relinquish control, to let go and to let God, as the saying goes. God initiates. We respond. We respond in faith and obedience. Number two, God collaborates. I love this verse in Ephesians 2. It tells us that we are God's workmanship or his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared opportunities for good works right here in Kubelup and surrounding areas for you to do. You as the people of God in this area. He's prepared in advance, sovereignly, right here in this region, in this community around us, people for you to meet, conversations for you to have, ways for you to help, relationships for you to develop, brokenness for you to heal, lost people just waiting for you to find them in Jesus' name. People in darkness longing to find some light and hope and peace and purpose. Good works that God has prepared in advance before the creation of the world for you to do in this day, in this time, in this area. It's a wonderful thing. Awesome. And here's the amazing thing, the more amazing thing. God is already at work here. And Jesus makes that clear in John 5. He says to those who are listening, "My Father is always at work, and I too am working." Some of you may be familiar with the course written many years ago by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. Few nods around the room. Those who've done that course will remember it. It's memorable. If you haven't done it, you can still do it. Impacted me greatly in the late 90s. Blackaby says that not only is God always at work around you, but he also invites you to join him in his work. God wants to collaborate with you. I love that word, collaborate. Literally, it means to co-labor, to work with. God is at work. He wants you to work with him. A remarkable truth. In other words, when it comes to these good works that God's prepared in advance for us to do, God's not sitting afar, distantly in heaven with a clipboard and a scorecard preparing a progress report on your task list. How's that job going down there that I prepared in advance for you to do? Not so well. Well, get on with it. 3 out of 10 is your score. No. Not at all, far be it from that. God, by his Spirit, is already out there in the community. He's in the shopping centres, he's in the schools. He was at Kubi Carols last night. He's there. He's in sporting clubs, he's in the marketplace. He's in your workplace. Maybe you don't work in this area, but wherever you work, he's in your workplace. He's there. with his sleeves rolled up, beckoning you, come on, come and join me, come and help me, walk with me, work with me, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Come and work with me, come and learn my way. I am the way. Learn my way of doing life, discerning where the Spirit of God is moving. Work with me. Let's do this together. I'm with you. I will help you. That's the heart of God, to collaborate with us and to invite us, to invite you into his work. God collaborates with us that we might participate with him in his work. Speaking of collaboration, reminds me of Paul's word to the Philippians, where we know early in his letter he writes, "You Philippians, you know, I thank God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel." I love that phrase. Your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This concept of partnership in the gospel, we're in this together. And what I want to say to you this morning is, you know, when Kubelup became a campus of Mount Pleasant in 2015, I'm kind of guessing that year, I think it was about 2015, there was a clear partnership between Mount Pleasant Baptist Church and Kubelup, this church, which was a campus. And then, you know, just a few months ago, that arrangement changed by mutual agreement, by God's plan, I believe. But the relationship is still there, is it not? The friendship is still there. My being invited back is clear evidence of that. Maybe you'll never have me back again after this morning. But you know what, even if that's true, we are still together, part of the same body of Christ. Together, here in our city, the same body. And in the economy of the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as an independent church. There are only dependent churches. An independent spirit is unhealthy. If anyone ever tells you, I go to such and such a church, it's an independent church. No, it's not. We are all dependent upon God the Father together. And actually, in ways we don't fully understand, we are dependent upon one another across the city in churches that we meet in together. Partnership. We're partners in the gospel. So God collaborates, we participate. Number three is that God completes. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Some of us are very good at starting things, not so good at finishing them. Maybe at your place there are a whole bunch of projects around the house that have been started, but then you've never just quite gotten around to finishing them. A few nervous looks between husbands and wives? He's talking about you. Well, we have a tendency, don't we, to lose momentum, to lose heart. We start things with great enthusiasm, but then over time our enthusiasm wanes. I don't know about you, but I've lost track of the number of Netflix series that I've started watching with great enthusiasm. Gets to series two and I think, I can't be bothered. I don't finish them. But God is not that way. God completes. What he begins, he completes. He says again in Isaiah, my word that goes out of my mouth will not return to me empty. It will complete. It will accomplish what I desire. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God will complete the work he's begun here. He will do it. As we think about this idea, this truth that, it's all God. It's all God's work. He will do it. There's a danger, I believe, a certain theological approach that might then say, well, you beauty, we can just sit back and watch what God is doing. He is just going to do it. We can just sit back. We don't have to be involved. But in fact, it's the plan and purpose of God that we don't just sit back and watch. Yes, God completes, but we have a role to contribute and play our part and to make sure we continue to embrace the new thing that God is doing. There's no time actually to sit back. We've got to keep embracing the new thing that God is doing. Make sure we don't quench the Spirit of God. And this is so important. We don't quench the Spirit of God by our insistence on holding on to old wineskins and old ways and refusing to move on with what God is doing and living God's way. We want to hold on to our way and the old way. Augustine had a good handle on this tension when he famously came out with this line. He said, pray as though everything depended upon God, work as though everything depended on you. I love that. I see that being lived out here at Kirby in an amazing way. You know, you're blessed with a pastor and with a leadership group. I think you call them a council of elders, is that right? Deeply prayerful, godly people, people who understand the importance, the centrality of prayer. You know, there are many in this church who I know pursue a level of prayer participation that indicates a high dependency upon God. That would say in your prayer meetings, Lord, we need you. We depend upon you. We are nothing without you. We can't do this unless you go, like Moses said, unless you go with us. We don't want to go. We don't want to do it. But go with us, Lord. Bring us with you. Praying as though everything depends upon God. But we understand too that we can't just sit around in prayer meetings. There's work to be done, the work of the kingdom. Work as though everything depends upon you. Kirby Carols last night, the best ever. That doesn't happen without a whole team of people. Some of you just yawned this morning. That could be my preaching. It could be that you've been working hard last night. A whole team of people working for the glory of God. See that sentiment, the sentiment of that Augustine quote, I think is captured well by the words of Paul in Colossians 1:29, which says, "To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that I can muster up from within me." No, it doesn't say that. "To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." Genius. I mean, Paul, he just had this beautiful handle on God's way, the way things work. He said, "Yes, I work hard, but I work hard with the work that with the power, the energy that Christ works in me." So God's at work around us. He's also at work through us and in us. God completes, we contribute. Well, I was thinking this week about your series titled Prepare Him Room. That line from the carol, "Let every heart prepare him room." You know, we all need to create space in our hearts, space in our diaries, space in our livings, it's in our lives to prepare him room. Room for the Lord to move. Room for him to interrupt and disrupt our plans. Room for him to readjust our priorities as we learn to live God's way. And living God's way does that very thing. We need to think about these things not only personally but also collectively. And here I, just in prayer over these last few days, just felt to challenge you that here is a church family. You need to make that you are preparing room for the Lord, but also that you're preparing room for those in the community who are not yet part of this family, but the Lord wants to bring them in. Not too many spare seats this morning. Do you have room in your hearts for the 100 people that the Lord will bring into this church family next year? There's not room for them this morning. Someone said to me this morning at Kirby Carols, we couldn't really invite people to come to church because there's no room. Well, I'm glad that's not my problem. But I hope that you recognize that it's a problem. That the Lord will have a way of leading you through. Now and then, Margie and I will host a dinner party for a group of friends, and during the lead up, there's a lot of work done. Lawns are mowed, floors are vacuumed, mopped, food is prepared. We get the place looking beautiful. Margie does, I mean. I've usually got a Netflix series to finish. It's very much a team effort. You know, sometimes we need to make sure that there's going to be room. We need to make arrangements, actually. Room for the people we've invited. We need to make sure, sometimes we need to organise extra chairs and extra cutlery, extra
plates, extra glasses, a lot of things to think about, lots of preparation. But you know, all that is done, all that preparation that's done, it's not for us. It's for the benefit of our guests, so that when they arrive, we're ready to receive them and to welcome them and to bless them. So it is, let me suggest, for you here this morning. The Lord's provided you with a great facility, and it's nice for you, but it's not for you, actually. It's not primarily for you. It's for all of your guests out in the community, all those people who came to Cuba Carols last night, people the Lord will bring, people you will invite to come and celebrate with you what the Lord is doing here, people who will enter the kingdom of God through the light that you shine in the darkness. Do you have room? Do you have room for those people? And what arrangements will you make going forward into the new year that will ensure that there is room? You know what that'll take? A new thing. A new thing. And for you to cooperate with whatever that new thing looks like. Or you can just remain the same and be crowded, and no new people will come, let me assure you. God initiates, we respond, let's respond with faith and obedience. God collaborates, we participate. Let's participate with willingness and enthusiasm. God completes, we contribute. Let's contribute with generosity and diligence in response to the amazing faithfulness of God here at Cuba. God is doing a new thing, and God will make a way. Amen. He is faithful, and God's work done God's way never lacks God's supply. Amen.